once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Welcome, everybody. Insight on this kind of dreary, gray Wednesday night. We have in studio this week Aaron Miner, the Mercer County prosecutor, correct?
Yep, that's right.
And you're also, I think, the chair of the 100th anniversary celebration of the courthouse.
I am. I was asked to be the chair about 2 years ago. And at the time, I thought, that sounds like a great idea. It's 2 years off. Sure, I'll do that. But yes, we are now sort of in the throes of planning various events to commemorate the 100th anniversary celebration of the Mercer County Courthouse.
And along with that, okay, so you're the prosecutor, you're the chairman of the courthouse anniversary celebration. You and Matt are involved in the Academic Booster Club, right? Are you the heads of that?
Yeah, we're the co-presidents of the Academic Booster Club.
Mm-hmm. People can usually find you running around town when you have time, so you're a busy lady.
Pretty busy, yeah, but that makes life a lot more fulfilling, I think. That's my opinion anyway.
So what are you going to do with your spare time when the courthouse thing's done?
You know, people keep committing crimes, so yeah. I think I'm going to have lots to keep me busy.
Well, I hope you get really unbusy with that, but I'm pretty sure that's a wish that won't come true. So.
Good job, security, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so we're going to talk about both of those things, both the courthouse anniversary and your new role as the county prosecutor. So let's start with the courthouse celebration.
Sure. So just a little bit of background about the courthouse. As anybody who's been to Salina knows, it's a fixture in our community, very identifiable. And it was built back in 1923, and there was actually a bad fire that had destroyed the old building. So they constructed a new courthouse built with marble and limestone. Very impressive piece of architecture. And I deal with attorneys from a lot of different counties, and the thing that I commonly hear is that it's one of the most beautiful courthouses in the state of Ohio. And, you know, actually, if anybody has never had an opportunity to take a tour of the courthouse, maybe you've just been there to pay your property taxes or something of that nature, it is just a really neat building, and we do have tours available. I know some of our elementary school kids, I think the Fort Recovery third graders, I think every year go over and do a courthouse tour. But it's just neat to, you know, get a behind the scenes view of the courthouse and hear some stories about it. But it's just it's a sort of an architectural, impressive structure. And so,
yeah, inside and out.
Inside and out.
Both,
that's right.
Both. It's impressive from the outside, and you go inside with a marble staircase, and I mean they went first class. I mean, it's just you walk in, and go, ooh, this is something.
This day and age, it would cost, you know, a fortune to build something.
I can't imagine what it would cost now. $10 million bucks is probably too low.
Yeah, it would be something that would be probably unreachable for our county. But so it's turning 100 years old this year, and we of course want to celebrate that milestone. And so we formed a committee about a year and a half ago to come up with some ideas about how we could you know, commemorate this celebration. And we came up with a slogan. Our slogan is celebrating 100 years of justice for all. And we went to the graphics design TriStar class over in Salina to help us design a logo. And so we've got a really cool logo, and it was actually designed by Lindsay Wendell, who's the daughter of Eric and Amy Wendell. And it's a logo that we have used on t-shirts and notepads and banners and things like that. So we really appreciate her effort. She did a great job for us. And our
and I'm going to also guess that there were a whole bunch of pretty nice ones that didn't get used.
Yeah, we were. I was really impressed. Well, first of all, when we somebody had the idea to even reach out to the graphic design students, it didn't even occur to me, but I thought, well, what a great idea. And then I got an opportunity to go over and check out the TriStar Complex. I had never seen it before. And, I mean, it's just a beautiful building. I mean, it's almost
like impressive,
isn't
it?
It's almost like a college campus, you know, when you go there. It's really awesome. So that was a neat experience in and of itself. And we had, we had many very great logos to choose from. And it just so happened that Lindsay's just kind of encompassed a variety of features that we wanted. We were going with a patriotic theme, and it was red, white, and blue. And she had a picture of the courthouse and the, you know, the years. And I actually have a t-shirt on. I know you can't see it through the radio. Oh. That's got the logo on it. But But
awesome.
And then the it's all sort of encompassed in with the stars in the shape of Ohio around it. So we just thought everything about it was great. So we appreciate her efforts in designing that for us. And then, so Sean Robinson, folks probably know him from the bank here in town. He's been serving as our treasurer for the committee and helping us pay bills and manage funds that have been donated and funds that we've gathered through doing various fundraisers. So we appreciate his assistance. But we've had all kinds of, we have all kinds of events planned.
Well, I'll tell you what. Before we get into those, let's take a real quick break, and we'll come back and talk about what the committee's got planned for 2023 and maybe what you already accomplished. So we'll be back right after this.
Good teaser, Jack.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who's dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent Simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
Boy Scout Troop 99 will be holding their annual pancake and sausage breakfast on Sunday, April 2nd from 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Fort Recovery American Legion. The breakfast includes all the pancakes, sausage, and scrambled eggs you can eat, along with coffee, milk, and juice. It's only $7 per person, and children 5 and under can eat for free. Tickets can be purchased from any Boy Scout or at the door. Don't miss the Scouts' annual pancake and sausage breakfast on Palm Sunday, April 2nd, at the Legion. The Fort Recovery High School baseball team is having a barbecue chicken dinner on Saturday, April 15th, and you can pick up the dinners from noon to 2 p.m. at the new baseball facility. There will also be a baseball doubleheader with the South Adams Starfires that day, starting at 11 a.m., so just bring the family and make a day of it. The tickets for the chicken dinners are just $9 each, and you get half a chicken from Wendell's Barbecue, plus applesauce, chips, and a roll. If you're not going to the game, you can just drive through and pick them up. You can contact any of the high school baseball players for tickets, and you can also get them by contacting Wendell's Barbecue at 375-4074. Don't miss out on the baseball team's barbecue chicken dinners this year, available on Saturday, April 15th from noon to 2 p.m. during our home baseball doubleheader with South Adams.
Now?
Yes.
All right. We're back. Insight. Talking to Aaron Miner, the Mercer County prosecutor, and we're talking about the 100th anniversary of the courthouse celebration that is, I guess we can say that it's ongoing, correct?
That's right. We just had a neat event that wrapped up in early March where we had an essay contest for all eighth graders across the county. And we gave them three prompts to write on, things like what does justice mean to you, the fact that America has been afflicted by rising crime over the last few years, what can be done to reduce crime rates in America. And then our third prompt was something to the effect of, why do you think it's important that Mercer County citizens have a general understanding of the role that the courts in Mercer County play. And so it was neat that we got a variety of, well, we had 50 essays submitted from eighth graders across the county. All schools submitted essays with the exception of Salina. I got several essays from the fort, so I was happy about that. But it was just interesting to read not only essays written on each of the three topics, but just different perspectives of the eighth graders. And so our...
Did you get any good ones?
We got some really good ones. We did. It was tough to choose the top three.
I'm going to guess there probably weren't very many bad ones, were there?
There wasn't. No, there was not. There really wasn't any bad ones. So it kind of made the... made it hard for us that were trying to pick the winners out. But
yeah.
The first place winner was a gal from Marion Local, and then second and third both came from Coldwater. So it was. We felt like it was a very successful thing. We had a nice celebration for them at the courthouse, and the top prize won. The first place winner got $300. Second got $200. Third got $100, and then the first place winner also gets a one-day job shadow with an elected official in Mercer County.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, I tried to encourage her to job shadow me, but being from Marion Local, she wanted to job shadow Judge Kathy Spielman, who's also from Marion Local, which makes sense, and I'm sure she'll have a good experience.
Oh, yeah. She's an all-star.
Yeah. Judge Spielman's doing a lot of great things over in municipal court, and it's kind of a well-oiled machine over there now.
We have some really good people in the courthouse, don't we?
We do, and you know, we've had a lot of changes in the last few years. I mean, Judge Spielman has been on the bench, you know, I guess almost 6 years now, because she had to run again this year.
Yeah, I think when she ran the first time, we were in our old studio, and she was there, and I'm not sure she knew what to expect. And what she got probably was not what she expected, but she comes and talks to us whenever we might need somebody to, and just a really, really good person.
Yeah, she's doing a great job over there. I mean, there's, like I said, it's really a well-oiled machine. They've made a lot of changes over there. They now have a probation department, which they never had, so they're really holding people accountable and just doing a good job.
Yeah, we had great judges before. And when you go to change, when those people retire, sometimes you're kind of thinking, and I've seen it happen in other counties, where the right people aren't there or aren't ready yet, and you might have some times when it's not good, but that is not the case in Mercer County. We have people that were ready to go and belong in those positions, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you from my experience that... if you don't have the right person, someone that is knowledgeable, let's say, just for example, judge of Common Pleas Court, where I practice all the time, if you don't have somebody in there that knows their stuff, it could be a really detrimental to the county. So we are lucky that we had people kind of waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
Judge Matt Gilmore took over for retired Judge Mary Pat Zitter. And by all accounts, he's running a very smooth operation in probate juvenile court. And then, of course, we have Matt Fox, who was formerly my boss, formerly the prosecutor of Mercer County and had been for numerous years, was kind of waiting in the wings. So when Judge Ingram retired, then he took that position. But, yeah, we are lucky here in the county that we have qualified individuals in every elected official position. And I think everyone has the same motives in mind, in the sense that we want to try to do the right thing for the county and keep the county
and for the people involved in any specific case.
Correct.
Yeah, you don't want to railroad anybody, but you don't want to let somebody slip on by that maybe, you know. So it needs to be fair. It needs to be correct. And I think that's the mindset of people, instead of, well, let's get rid of this riffraff and just try to find something and go railroad them. That isn't what we do.
I'm glad you brought this up, and it's a little bit ironic because I was in a meeting yesterday and this same topic came up, is that, you know, when people think about the prosecutor's office, they may think that our goal is to argue that everybody goes to prison, and that's just not true. You know, we have a lot of people that come through the criminal justice system that you know, are addicted to drugs, and unless there are extenuating circumstances, such as this person has a very lengthy criminal history, you know, they've given so many chances in the past on probation and they just continue to violate, we will work with defense counsel to try to get them some help, whether that's at a residential drug treatment facility or maybe that's outpatient treatment. But the first option is not always prison. In fact, that's many options down the line.
Some people belong in prison for a long time because of what they do. Other people might need some prison or some other stuff for if you can rehabilitate them, then a shorter thing is good, because bad things need to get punished, but sometimes decent people do the wrong thing and slap them in prison for decades. Yeah, probably isn't the best thing. Isn't necessarily what needs to be done.
Yeah, and there's
it does need punished.
Yeah, and there's certainly a distinction. You know, if I see somebody who is
habitual,
a drug addict.
Yeah.
But they're not out dealing, you know, so they're not out hurting other people, and they truly, genuinely want help, I'm going to be much more likely to advocate for them to get some treatment. Now, if you've got somebody that, yeah, they're a drug addict, but they're also a serial, I call them serial thievers, from Walmart, you know, where they're going into Walmart constantly and walking out with hundreds of dollars of electronics, I'm not going to feel much sympathy for them, because at that point, all you're doing is driving the prices up for me and Jack, because every time you go in there and you decide you don't want to pay for something, and then what they do is, you know, they'll walk out with these valuable electronics, or for some reason, a big item that's stolen is a shark vacuum. I don't know why, but we see a lot of shark vacuums get stolen from Walmart. You know, then they'll sell them. And then they use that money to go and feed their drug habits. So I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for those types of individuals that do that, because they're just hurting other people.
Yeah, especially if it's habitual, if it's just somebody that, you know, if you can just figure out some way to get them off of the out of their addiction, then they can be real people again. Because most of them started off being real people with something that I think you're going to talk about a little later, about some addictive drugs that people are not trying to take. They just end up with them because they're trying something else. But sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. And we got off a little bit got a little sidetracked. But I think, Jack, if it's okay, we'll circle back to that in a little bit. Just to kind of go back to the courthouse celebration. So we talked about the 8th grade essay contest that we had, and we've got a lot of upcoming events. We are trying to make this a very family-friendly celebration, so something that you want to take your kids to, grandparents want to bring the grandkids to, something for everyone. So coming up on April 1st, Wabash has historically sponsored an Easter egg hunt at the courthouse that starts at 11 o'clock and ends at 11:02.
Yeah, it goes quickly, doesn't it?
But
so don't be late.
Don't be late. We are also going to be at that event, and we're going to be selling some T-shirts that I need to give a shout out to BU Boutique, because they did our T-shirts for us, and they're wonderful.
Oh, cool.
And so we'll be selling some T-shirts, and we also had cookbooks that we put together. We solicited recipes from the public, and we were looking for generational recipes. So we put together these really nice cookbooks that of recipes that folks submitted that had been passed down in their families for generations. All different kinds of things. Salads, appetizers, lots of desserts, which I was kind of expecting, because the recipes that have been passed down in our family are primarily desserts. But we put it all together in a cookbook. And so we'll be selling those, and then we'll be having some treats for the kiddos, cookies and things like that. But just a quick note on the cookbooks. We have a recipe in there, thanks to a typo. It's like cowboy beans or something, and it calls for one can of undrained corn and beans. So please make that dish. But we didn't notice it till it after going to the printer, and then a couple people pointed out to us, and I said, well, they'll get a reply. If nothing else.
Well, you can just claim it was done on purpose just to see if people are paying attention.
That's right. That's right. But so we're going to be participating in that Easter egg hunt. And then something that we're really excited about is we had an art contest in connection with the courthouse celebration. And we have, I was not knowledgeable about this, but we have a lot of really good local artists in the area. And so we put out there about how we were having this art contest, and we got 20 submissions, and they are hanging right now. They're on display at Brew Nation. So if you get a chance and want to go with your significant over to Brew Nation and have a beer or whatever, you'll see 20 different pieces that people submitted in connection with this art contest. The majority of them have some connection to the courthouse, but we did get some other pieces of artwork, things like pictures of maybe the skyline over Grand Lake, things of that nature.
So is it like photographs? Is it paintings? Is it watercolors? Sketches?
Yeah, it's a variety of things.
So it's any and everything.
We had photography, some sketches, a lot of paintings, but some of the artwork that was submitted was just fantastic. And not to pick any one artist out in particular, but Jane Dippold, who owns the art gallery in Coldwater, she submitted a piece that was beautiful, and that's not to diminish some of the other pieces that we received too. They're really great. So on April 8th that morning from 10 to 12, we're going to have the judging, like the art contest judging at Brew Nation, and the winning artist gets $1,000.
Ooh.
And then
that'll pay for the paint.
Yes, $500 for second and $250 for third. And then the winning artist will also have their piece displayed permanently in the Mercer County Courthouse.
Ooh.
Oh, that's cool.
So, and then what we're going to be doing is taking that winning piece and making prints, and then selling those prints to help to fund some of the activities that we're planning to do this year. But we're really excited about the quality of the artwork that we got. So that's on April 8th. And you let me know, Jack, when you need to take a break. I just keep going. So keep going. All right.
Well, you know what? That is probably a good time for us to take a little break. And you can get a drink of water.
Take a breath.
Take a breath. And we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
lot of land comes with a lot of work. The Kubota MX Series has a lot to offer. Part of our under 100 horsepower tractor lineup, rated number one for reliability, they feature the versatility to mow, move hay bales, grade roads, and clear brush and snow. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Here's an easy way to feed your family on a busy night. Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them take care of it. Whether you want wings, sandwiches, subs, their fried goodies, or their awesome pizza, just call them and they'll make it for you. Why work hard in the kitchen after a long day when Miracle Lanes is just a phone call away? And you don't want to miss their all-you-can-eat Friday lunch buffet with salad bar, pizza, breadsticks, and boneless wings, and lots of fish and shrimp during Lent. And be sure to call them to book your lanes for birthday parties and other occasions. Miracle Lanes, great food and lots of fun. Stop by and see Corey and Jared today.
Stop out and visit us at the Wendling Sports Club every Friday during Lent. We'll be having our popular all-you-can-eat fish fry on Friday nights from 4:30 to 7. Along with our famous freshly cooked fish, we'll have French fries, a variety of salads, and several other great side dishes. Bring the whole family. Come early and stay late. Meet your friends at the Wendling Sports Club every Friday evening during Lent for our all-you-can-eat fish fry. Great food, great company. Come on out and see us at the Wendling Sports Club's fish fry every Friday during Lent from 4:30 to 7.
The Fort Recovery Firefighters Association will be serving their annual barbecue chicken dinners on Sunday, April 2nd at the Fire Hall. That's right, they'll be serving those great barbecue chicken dinners that we all love. The tickets are pre-sale only and are available from any of the firefighters. And be sure to grab a couple of extra dinners for a quick meal during the week. Get your tickets now, then stop down on Sunday afternoon, April 2nd from 4 to 6 p.m. and pick up your chicken dinners. Get your tickets now from any of our firefighters for the Fort Recovery Firefighters Chicken Dinners, Sunday, April 2nd, from 4 to 6.
I get you every time on this. Welcome back to Insight. We're talking to Aaron Miner, the Mercer County Prosecutor, and the lady of all knowledge when it comes to the 100th anniversary of the courthouse celebration. So we were talking about the various events. One quick side question: You talked about selling T-shirts and mm-hmm. selling recipe books and things. Yeah. So where did the proceeds go from those?
So all of the proceeds from the sale of those items go into our courthouse celebration account. We have an account over with the Mercer County Civic Foundation. Since they're mm-hmm. a 501c3, they've set up a separate account for us. And so all the money we're using to pay for these various events, for example, to help pay the art contest winners.
Right.
And we're trying to be very frugal about what
right.
we spend, but then sort of some promotional items, things like banners, and we bought pens and stress balls and notepads that we're going to be giving out at different events. So things like that. And then, so I talked about the art contest that's going to be on, judging is on April 8th. We're having a really neat event on May 4th. It's going to be at the courthouse in the auditorium over there. It's a women in law event. It's going to be from 11:30 to 1. We're going to have, female judges, female attorneys from the area, female law enforcement and corrections officers, and female court staff. And then we've extended an invitation to all high school females in the county that may be interested in pursuing some type of a legal career, as well as students from Wright State that are in the criminal justice program out there. So our goal is just to have an opportunity for young women who may be interested in pursuing one of these fields, just have an opportunity to do some networking, very informal, low-key. It's a free event for everyone that attends. So we're going to provide lunch, and Judge Spielman is going to address the group and just have some remarks, and then everybody's going to go home with a gift bag. So,
gift bag.
Yes.
Ooh,
can't pass that
up. I might be there. Get me a wig and stop on
right,
by.
Right.
Well, Rocker kind of identifies.
That's not necessarily the reason he's going into the women's restroom.
I'm not good with all the PC words, so I'm gonna avoid that conversation.
Okay. Good choice.
But I just, you know, I think back to my high school days, and I don't remember a lot of opportunities like this. And I just hope that our local high schoolers take advantage of the opportunity. It's very low commitment, you know, just come, have a meal, get a chance to talk with some, like I said, females in the area, attorneys, judges, law enforcement officers, corrections officers, and people that work in the courthouse in an administrative capacity, and you know, just get an idea kind of what they do and go home with a gift bag.
And
so,
May 4th is what day of the week?
It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday?
Yep, and it's from 11:30 to 1 that day.
Yep.
So if, you know, you are in high school, you wouldn't have to miss too much school.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, and this could be completely wrong, but it seems to me that this area has had women kind of in upper roles way before anybody thought it was, you know, something to do. Like, we had Nell Franklin was our mayor for 600 years, you know, she, you know, and we had Maggie Harding's our police chief, mm-hmm. and the courthouse, I don't know, before Mary Pat Zitter, but, mm-hmm. you know, that was, there weren't women judges for mm-hmm. ever. That was unheard of, and not, you know, it just seems like as backwoods bumpkins that we've been ahead of the curve on that thing.
We're a little bit of trailblazers, I think. I mean, we have females in a lot of leadership positions in county government. I think at some point in time, it would be nice to have our first female commissioner. I don't think we've had a female commissioner yet.
Nope.
Shortly after I got appointed Mercer County prosecutor, somebody asked the question what it felt like to be the first female prosecutor, and I said, geez, I hadn't even thought about it. I didn't even realize. But yeah, so, you know,
I think you probably were thinking, well, I've seen women around here before. Right. It's not like that's nothing unusual.
We have a lot of female attorneys that work in our court system.
Yep.
So, you know, I just think it would be a great opportunity, and I'm hopeful that some folks will take advantage of it. We did get an RSVP back from one Fort Recovery High School student so far, and I'm hoping she can talk some of her friends into joining her, because I think it's going to be a nice event.
Yep. I think that'd be great to have a bunch of them, just even if that's not any career they're pursuing, mm-hmm. to understand what's going on, because they're going to wish they had 10, 15, 20 years from now when they need to understand how things work.
Well, and you just never know.
Right.
In terms of networking, you just never know whose hand you're going to shake, and at some point in time, that person may become important to getting your foot in the door. Maybe it's not with a position with the county in any capacity, but maybe it's somebody else because their husband works here or their best friend works here.
Yep.
You just never know, and there have been so many times in my life where doors have opened because of connections I have made, you know, in the past.
Yeah, not even on purpose, just being there and people know who you are.
Exactly. So that's in May. On July 14th, they have the Taste of Salina, and we are partnering with one of the churches over in Salina. They have been so kind as to allow us to use some inflatables that they have. So we're going to be setting up inflatables at the courthouse, having those available for kids from 6 to 8. And then we also are going to have the courthouse auditorium open. And in the auditorium, we're going to be displaying artwork that was submitted in connection with the art contest. Mm-hmm. We're also going to have historical items. Those three winning essays that I talked about mm-hmm. before from the eighth graders, we're going to have those blown up on foam board, have those on displayed, and just other things for folks to check out. And then we'll also be selling T-shirts and cookbooks. So that's in connection with the Taste of Salina. And then we're going to have a presence at the fair. We will have a booth at the fair, so folks can come on out, and we'll have information available about how to buy, like, for example, the prints that we're going to be selling, and things of that nature. And then we are doing a week-long series of events, September 11th through the 17th. And on Monday of that week, you've probably heard about how for the last few years they've done a 9/11 first responders walk, which mm-hmm. I think is a great idea. We are partnering with the folks who have organized that the last few years, and we're going to start out our week-long celebration with a 9/11 first responders walk. It's going to start at 6 p.m., and we're going to be starting and ending at the courthouse. And on Tuesday, we're having a blood drive. This is Tuesday, September 12th. That's going to be in the Central Services Building, which is where the commissioners are at, mm-hmm. Also where the health department is.
Yeah.
On Livingston Street, and so folks can come to that first floor conference room between 11:30 and 4:30 and donate blood, and of course there'll be snacks and things like that available.
Oh, snacks!
Yes,
oh,
gotta have snacks. And on Wednesday, September 13th, from 9 to 10 in the auditorium of the courthouse, we're going to have coffee with Mercer County elected officials. So if you just want to come and meet your elected officials, or maybe you have someone in particular that you would like to talk to and ask a few questions, mm-hmm. from 9 to 10, you can come get a free cup of coffee, and we'll have pastries and things of that nature too. So you can come and have a light breakfast and either meet your elected officials for the first time, or if you've already met them, then just engage in some dialogue and ask any questions that you would like of them. On Thursday, September 14th, from 6 to 7, we're doing a story time at the Mercer County Library over in Salina. So they're going to be doing some courthouse-specific activities, including a story, and there's going to be kind of 5 to 10-minute kids-appropriate lesson about the courthouse, and then they're going to be doing a craft, and It will be sort of a similar structure to what folks experience here at our library. Mm-hmm. I know they do a great job here with story time. So something similar, but just focus on the courthouse. And then on Friday, September 15th, from 11 to 1, we're going to have food trucks at the courthouse. And so we're calling it a lunch on the lawn. So you can come over and buy a sandwich. And it will be, you have to buy your own sandwich if you want a sandwich, but we're going to be providing desserts.
Oh.
So hopefully we have a nice day for that.
And that's probably a good excuse to go in and look around the courthouse if you haven't
exactly.
been in
yeah.
there.
And thank you for bringing that up, because also all week long we're going to be offering courthouse tours. So if, people can sign up
you
for a tour.
You talked about the, the courthouse tours. So if, mm-hmm. like, I want a courthouse tour mm-hmm. before September 15th.
Mm-hmm. How would you go about doing that? So teachers and things, typically what they have done is they contact the commissioner's office, and there is one individual who's been responsible for courthouse tours for the last umpteen years. His name is Kip Wright. He's done a lot of different things. He worked for the sheriff's office.
Yeah, he's done everything.
He's basically done everything.
Yep.
He now teaches out at the Lake campus, but he does courthouse tours. He does a fantastic job. So you would call the commissioner's office, say you want to schedule a courthouse tour, and then they get in touch with Kip, and they find a time and a day and a time that works. But he's very flexible. I know he was telling me in the coming months, he's got a group of 6 or 7 couples that – you know, they're going to be up here on vacation, and they're planning just various sort of educational things that they want to do while they're in town, one of which is a courthouse tour. I think they're also planning to come out and see the fort and maybe the Mariah Stein Shrine. So, you mm-hmm. know, so he accommodates them. He'll come in on a Saturday or a Sunday and open the courthouse up and give tours.
Cool. So the tours, it isn't like you just walk in and say, can somebody give me a tour? You want
right.
to... You want to schedule it, and you usually mm-hmm. try to do a group.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Yep.
I think
yep.
he likes to keep it at no more than around 20, if possible, mm-hmm. just because then the participants get more out of it.
Yeah.
But he does a lot of courthouse tours for elementary school kids, and I know in April and May, those are his busy months. And like I said, he does one for, I think it's third grade Fort Recovery students every year. But we'll have tours going on all that week, and we'll be... advertising the times of those tours on our Facebook page. So if you just Google Mercer County Courthouse 100th Anniversary Celebration Facebook, it'll pop up, and we're putting updates on our Facebook page regularly about events that we've had and upcoming events. And so you can just check out the Facebook page, and there'll be days and times for those tours during that week. And then the big sort of shebang is on Sunday, September 17th from 1 to 4. We're going to be having a variety of activities. And this is just would be a great opportunity. It seems like Matt and I were always looking for something to do with our kids. Mm-hmm. And this time of year, you know, the weather is usually pretty nice in September. And it's going to be a totally free event from 1 to 4. We're going to have crafts, face painting for kids. We've got a guy lined up to do balloon animals. We're going to have cupcakes, a Kona ice truck, which are like the slushies.
Yep.
We're going to have a touch a truck with law enforcement officers and first responders so the kids can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping we can get a drug dog out there too, because everybody loves the canines.
Yeah. And the canines love everybody.
Yes.
They're just awesome.
They're just neat animals.
Yeah.
And they had buried 25 years ago a time capsule when they celebrated the 75th anniversary. We're going to be opening that up, and then some of the Salina Elementary School students who had put items in that 75th anniversary capsule are going to be attending the celebration.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I think that'll be neat. And we're also going to be burying a new time capsule. So we'll have a lot of things that would just be great for families to come out. And like I said, it's really no commitment. Everything will be free of charge.
So how can 1998 be 25 years ago and seem like yesterday?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
It's incredible.
Yep.
So.
Time flies. One last thing. On that Sunday, we are also trying to get Chief Justice Kennedy from the Ohio Supreme Court to come speak. And I've had some communication with her staff, and I feel pretty positive about it. We're supposed to connect again in June, but so I'm hopeful that she will attend that event and speak.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
that's cool. So do you guys have to? I mean, is there anybody that's going to do the myriad of various parades that occurred this summer? Are you doing anything with those?
We are, yeah. We actually participated in the St. Patrick's Day parade this past Sunday. I did not draw the short straw, so I didn't have to do it. The weather wasn't cooperating very much, but we did participate in that parade and pass out some candy, and it's the intent to be in the Jubilee Parade, the Lake Festival Parade, and then the Coldwater Parade in August.
Very good. Well, I'll tell you what, before we start talking about the prosecutor job and how that's going for you, let's take a little break. And we'll come back and talk about, you know, some of the things that we started talking about as far as, you know, what you're seeing, the types of drugs you're seeing, and how the whole system works. So we'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Amanda Seegers with Fort Recovery Insurance. Farmers understand the risks of farm life, and at Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, we understand those risks too. If your life and business is farming, let us help make sure you're protected from the risks you face in a way that fits your budget. And if you have a claim, we'll be here to bring you inside the fort. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency is your local Ohio Mutual Insurance Group agency. Call us at 419-375-4181.
Ever imagined yourself stranded on a deserted island? Now imagine the power goes out at your home. What next? Remember, this isn't Gilligan's Island, and the professor isn't going to save you. But Reasoner will. With a Generac automatic standby generator, you'll never miss a beat. Lights, heating, TV, cell phones, and computers. Everything you need will still be working. Mary Ann can still make you a coconut pie. Find out more about Generac generators at Reasoner Energy in Coldwater. 419-678-4858.
Lent is here, and Wayne IGA has you covered. Stop by their deli for some of their famous freshly fried fish. You can get dinners with two sides or buy it by the pound. Call ahead at 375-2865 for larger amounts. They'll have their fish in the deli every Friday all the way through Lent. And check out their frozen foods section for their fish, shrimp, and even more meatless Lent options. Let Wayne IGA make your Friday dinners easy this Lenten season. Just stop by their deli and pick up what you need.
Baseball season is finally here, and it starts this Saturday as our Indians will travel to Houston to start the season on Saturday. Game time has been moved to 1 p.m. As always, Fort Recovery Radio will bring you all the baseball games live. Make plans now to head over to Houston on Saturday afternoon to help our Indians start off the season with a win. But if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Insight.
Yes.
We are.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
And you're here this week.
I am here this
week. Welcome home.
I've been sick. I've had a terrible cough.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Terrible, isn't
it? And you've had, in the last year, by my count, you've had 7 retirement parties.
Yes.
And 38 vacations.
which is right.
That's what you're supposed to do when you retire,
that's
right?
Exactly right.
Vacation. Yep.
So, we're talking to Aaron Miner, and we covered the courthouse celebration, but you took the job as county prosecutor the first of the year, correct?
It was a little bit earlier than that, so just to give a little bit of background. So I started with the prosecutor's office as an assistant in March of 2019. My boss at the time was Matt Fox. He was a Mercer County prosecutor. And so he decided he wanted to run for to be judge of the Mercer County Common Pleas Court. Judge Ingram retired at the end of 2022. It's like a forced retirement. Judges, you can only serve as a judge until you're 70 years old, or if you turn 70 in the middle of your term, you can complete that term, but you may not run again. So that's what happened to Judge Ingram. So Judge Fox won the general election in November to take over Judge Ingram's spot, and then just a few days after that, he resigned from his position as prosecutor so he could have some time to gear up to take the bench. And then I was initially appointed by the Mercer County commissioners the same day that he resigned, or that his resignation became effective, so that there would not be any gap in leadership in the office. And then I subsequently was appointed by the Mercer County Republican Party to fill out the remainder of Matt Fox's 2-year term. So I won't have to go on the ballot until next March in the primary, and then I'll have to, hopefully win the primary, win the general, and then be the elected prosecutor.
And then you'll be in politics.
Right.
All right.
Something like that. Oh, I can't wait.
Boy, I bet. So, okay. So, when you talk about, you'd mentioned earlier that you manage your office, okay, mm-hmm. that, like, you're in a leadership position. So, how many people and who's in the prosecutor's office?
It's a good question. As my 5-year-old daughter would say, she says, "Mommy's a boss."
Yeah.
And she also describes my job as keeping the bad guys in jail.
Yeah.
So that's her 5-year-old understanding, but that's pretty good, I think. So I manage our office. We have a small office compared to other counties. For example, you go down to Montgomery County, and I'd hate to guess how many assistant prosecutors they have, and then they have multiple layers of leadership. They probably have a head of the homicide division and a head of the sex crimes division, and so on and so forth. We don't have the budget for that, nor do we have a need for it, thankfully, because we don't have the volume of crimes that, of course, they see in urban areas like Montgomery County. So there's me, and then we have 3 assistant prosecutors. So, Tony Miller works closely with me. He's from Lima. He was formerly an assistant prosecutor up in Allen County for about 15 years. So we were very excited to bring him on because he's got a lot of experience. Him and I work together prosecuting felony cases. And then Andy Henders. Andy has been with the county since, I think he's going on 42 years. So he's a fixture. But he does all of our juvenile prosecutions. He provides advice to Job and Family Services and the Child Support Enforcement Agency. And then he represents all of the townships in the county. So those township guys, when they have questions about things, he's their counselor, and they call him. And then Amy Eichert, she handles all the civil matters for the county. So things like contracts, HR issues, that's all of the civil things run through her for the county. And then we have some support staff, including an investigator, which I would describe as he's kind of the middle man between our office and law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Is he an actual law enforcement officer? Is that a requirement, or is it just happens that way? Or
He is. He was formerly with the Salina Police Department for 25 years. Mm-hmm. When he retired from the Salina Police Department, he was a detective there, and then he came to work for us. And I always tell him I hate it when he takes a vacation day, because I feel like my wingman's not there.
Yeah.
He's pivotal in helping us to get cases not only off the ground, but as a case is pending, sometimes I'll say, well, we really need this document. You know, can you contact so-and-so and get that for me? So he's just huge in helping to, again, not only get cases to the point where we can charge, but also as a prosecution is pending. We have a victim advocate, which is a little bit unique, that we have an in-house victim advocate. So she's the go-to point when we have victims. Let's say, for example, your loved one was in a car crash, and the at-fault driver was charged because they ran a stop sign, or they were OVI, or they were driving under suspension, something like that. So she keeps the victim's family members up to date on what's happening and where we're at in the status of the prosecution, helps to gather documentation for restitution. For example, if somebody has medical bills as a direct result of the crime that was inflicted upon them, she handles all that. And then we have an office administrator, which basically does, she just sort of oversees everything and keeps
She's the boss.
Yeah, really she is.
That's how it is at the school.
Yeah.
And lots of other places.
Yeah.
They run everything.
Yeah, so we are a small group, but we're very tight-knit, and because we are a small office, everybody has to do their part, you know. We're all in the trenches getting our hands dirty, but that's good, because I wouldn't want it any other way.
Right.
You know, I want to be in court a lot. I want to know what's going on in every single case that we're prosecuting. I want to know what civil matters Amy's working on, or the juvenile prosecutions that are underway. I want to be able to, you know, have a working knowledge of all those other things that are going on.
So have you found it difficult to be the boss, as your daughter says?
I haven't. And I think there's two reasons why that is the case, is that everybody and their brother knew that Matt Fox was going to run for judge. It was no secret. So him and I had some conversations early last fall. It was probably late summer, early fall. And he had started to sort of back away from the day-to-day operations, I guess, so to speak, of the office. So he had been withdrawing from that. For one reason is because he didn't want to be conflicted out of a lot of criminal cases when he would go to the bench. So, for example, if he signed off on somebody's indictment, he can't then go preside over that case when he becomes judge, because that's a conflict of interest. And so he wanted to back away so that there would be less cases that he was conflicted out of. So I took on more of a managerial role in September or so, maybe even a little earlier than that. And so I already had several months under my belt before, you know, officially getting the title. And of course, there's always things you want to change. You know, when you're in a leadership position, you say, geez, I think we can do this differently or that differently.
Yeah, and especially if the person ahead of you has been there a while, and this is how we've always done it. You don't necessarily, it works, so why are you changing it?
Yeah.
Or you don't have time to stop and think about something different. So, yeah, doesn't mean anything was wrong with the previous person, just the same way as he changed some things from Judge, was it Mary Pat? Is that Ingram?
Ingram.
Yeah.
So,
doesn't mean they did anything wrong.
It's just because you see that you want to do things differently for one reason or another.
Yeah.
But also we have people in our office are very senior. We have a lot of experience. Because of that experience, like everybody in our office can work fairly independently, you know. Right. I don't have time to micromanage, but it's not necessary either because everybody knows what they need to do to get their jobs done and do it well. And so that has made the management aspect of the job much easier.
So you just get the blame and you're not, you don't have to do all the work. Okay.
So we touched
that's sometimes
on this
what
earlier.
A manager does.
Yeah.
They just get the blame.
Okay, so what is the process? Like when a grand jury gets called, what does a prosecutor do?
Okay, so good question. So generally speaking, how a case gets kind of up and running is we get a report from law enforcement, whether that's Mercer County Sheriff's Office, Fort Recovery PD, Coulter PD, etc. We go through that report, we review it, we make a decision as to whether we want to charge that individual with anything, and if we decide we want to move forward for felony offenses in the state of Ohio, you have to go through grand jury. And so once a month, the third Thursday of every month, we convene grand jury, and so people from across the county will be picked to come in and serve. It's not like a trial, so the defendant is not there. There's no defense attorney there. There's no cross-examination of witnesses and things like that. It's a very one-sided process where it's simply the state presenting the totality of a particular investigation and then educating the grand jurors on what charge or charges we're asking them to consider. And then they deliberate on it, and the standard is not beyond a reasonable doubt, which everybody's familiar with from TVs and movies, but it's probable cause, which simply means more likely than not. So the grand jurors are asked to make a determination based on the testimony and the evidence that we've presented to them, whether they think this individual committed this crime more likely than not. And if they vote yes, then...
Does that have to be unanimous?
It does not.
Okay.
We have 9 voting members on the grand jury, and we need to have a minimum of 7 yeses to move forward. So if it's a 7-2, the charge moves forward. And then what's issued is something called an indictment, which is just a fancy word for a charging instrument, but it lays out what the charges are. And then when the individual, the defendant, is served with a copy of that indictment, well, they will be served with a copy of that indictment. At the same time, they're either arrested or issued a summons telling them to appear in court on a specific day and time.
So do you or your office decide, okay, if something is a misdemeanor or a felony, and are those guidelines pretty much spelled out?
Yeah, so... I'm going to unpack this a little bit. So misdemeanors are less serious offenses. Felonies are more serious offenses. And the way that things are set up in our county is that if you are charged with a misdemeanor offense, your case is going to be prosecuted in Salina Municipal Court. That would be Judge Spielman's court. And the prosecutor who will be handling that case is George Moore. He is the... city law director for the city of Salina. So it seems a little strange. You know, you would think that the prosecutor's office would prosecute all crimes in Mercer County, but that's just the system that we have. So he prosecutes misdemeanors in Salina Municipal Court. Anything felony level, our office handles. Now, occasionally you'll have a felony offense committed. Let's say somebody's in possession of methamphetamines, and then there is also a misdemeanor offense that arises out of the same set of facts. Okay, so somebody is found in possession of meth in a baggie, and then they're also found in possession of a meth smoking pipe. Well, that meth smoking pipe is drug paraphernalia, which is a misdemeanor offense. But when we go to grand jury, we're going to ask them to consider both the felony meth possession offense and the misdemeanor drug paraphernalia offense because they arise out of the same facts and circumstances rather than splitting the two charges, which just doesn't make a whole lot of sense for, you know, a judicial economy. But felony offenses cannot be resolved, I guess, for lack of a better word, in Salina Municipal Court because they don't have jurisdiction for it.
Got you. Let's take one more break and come back and wrap things up and kind of talk about kind of like a summary of the courthouse thing. And then I'd like to close with you talking about the new drug that you're finding.
Sounds good.
Okay. And then we'll do Rocker.
And then we'll do Rocker.
Pop culture history and stuff.
We'll be back.
Fors Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Fors, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Fors Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Fors Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Promotion from within the company is huge, and it's very much supported by the owners.
At Cooper Farms, we value hard work and dedication toward bettering yourself, and we reward that. We know that our team members are the key to our success.
We offer them classes. We help them try to get to that next level. We want them to learn. The people are our asset.
Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. 2022 has been an interesting business year, to say the least. Has your business experienced change within your operation? With the Fed increasing short-term rates several times this year, have you reached your mode or dashboard of operation? Now more than ever, you need a strategy and a plan of action tailored specifically to your business needs. Because you deserve more than, this is what we have to offer when considering a financial institution. CSG Consulting, 419-852-4049, your partner in planning and making you first.
Hey everyone, the Donald here, and I'll totally be at the Fort Recovery Harvest Jubilee in Fort Recovery, Ohio on June 17th. Be there and say hi to me. Please don't make me beg. I need the money.
You didn't believe that, did you? That's AI. It's not real, and it'll come for all of our jobs one day. But you know it is real. This is the first year of the Battleground Shootout, an 18-plus dodgeball tournament at the Fort Recovery Jubilee, June 17th. Gather a team of 6 to 8 and sign up at FortRecoveryJubilee.com/dodgeball. Only $30 a person. Also, follow the Battleground Shootout Dodgeball Tournament event page on Facebook for updates.
Hey, John Madden here, and I come back from the grave to call play-by-play at the Battleground Shootout.
Again, AI. Not real. Come on.
When I started pulling over,
I don't sit at my desk all day long. You know, I'm bouncing here and there and everywhere. I'm talking with a lot of different people during the course of the day. I feel like I'm helping people out.
Hey, we're back. Sorry. I was chit-chatting, and we're back, and so you might have heard a little bit of a preview about what they're going to talk about. I was talking to Harold Feely, so I don't know what they were talking
about. What the hell kind of place are you running here?
Very casual, and we get really good information from our guests. So,
and you have good snacks.
That's all that matters. Yep.
Of which she hasn't eaten any of them yet. But
I think she had a cashew.
I tell you what, it is always informative whenever you come. I mean, I learn a lot about the way things work. And you know, one of the topics that we almost always touch on is kind of what's new out there. And you were talking earlier about a new drug that you're seeing that's kind of scary. Why don't you share that?
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this because I feel like we really need to educate the public, parents in particular, of junior high, high school age kids. For the first time in Mercer County a few weeks ago, we had the appearance of something called a pressed fentanyl pill. Now, historically, we've had plenty of fentanyl possession and fentanyl trafficking cases, but fentanyl has always taken the form of like a powder. Sometimes white, sometimes grayish. It just depends on how much other junk they mix with it. And people would snort it or mix it with water and inject it. But now we're seeing these pressed fentanyl pills. So they are made to look like Percocets, which Percocet, you know, is a prescription pill. It's a prescription opiate painkiller. But it's nothing at the level of a fentanyl. So what's happening is they're taking fentanyl and they're pressing it into a round shape. They're coloring it like blue-green, putting a stamps on it to make it look like a Percocet. I think there's an M on one side and a 30 on the other.
So when you say they, who's they?
The people that are making it.
Maybe around here, probably somewhere way far away, or
it's
Dayton,
not,
or Mexico, or China.
Yeah, it's not being manufactured in this area. It's just being brought into this area. And what we've seen, similar to other drugs, like methamphetamine, like cocaine, like heroin, it's brought in from urban areas, whether it be Dayton, or Lima, or Fort Wayne. But the scary thing is, in particular, is that fentanyl is, it only takes a few milligrams for someone to overdose off of fentanyl. And what we're also seeing in these pressed pills is something called parafluorofentanyl, which is more commonly known as China White. And it is, we're talking nearly 100 times stronger than fentanyl yet. And it's all packaged in a nice little pill that an unsuspecting adolescent could take. You know, maybe their friend says, look, I got a headache. Well, here, take this, thinking it's a Tylenol or an Aleve or, you know, maybe a Percocet. And then unbeknownst to them, they're getting fentanyl. And then they overdose. And if Narcan's not around, they may end up dying. So it's just, and the target population for dealers of these types of pills seems to be the teens. And so I would just caution parents to have a conversation with their kids. Like, never accept a pill from your friend, even if your friend is well-meaning.
And if they say, I know exactly what this is,
because
my mom has taken these, because it looks just like
it's
it.
Just, you know, and I'm not trying to make people fearful, but it's just, you have to be aware. Because God forbid somebody gets a hold of one of these things, they don't know what they're taking.
We trust each other around here.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is a good thing.
Yes,
but
when something like this sneaks in, like you said, well-meaning friend, or you know mom has Percocet in there, and you've taken one before and it worked, and then somebody has one right there, and you feel like you need one, and off you go to the hospital.
Yeah, so just something to be aware of, and like I said, it made the hair stand on the back of my neck when I read the first couple reports about this stuff, because it's just, you know, it's a cat and mouse game. As soon as we lock down on one type of drug, heroin, for example, heroin was big for a number of years, and really cracked down on heroin. We don't see it very much anymore, but then meth, there's an uptick in meth, you know, and then in comes fentanyl, and it's just... it's just a constant, you feel like you're almost running on a wheel. And we have very good law enforcement, and they're doing everything they can to keep this stuff out of the area, but it seems like you get one big dealer off the street and somebody comes in and takes his place. So.
Well, and it's just a shame that, you know, you can't sell it if there's no buyers, and it seems like there's always somebody looking for it.
There's a market.
Yeah, there's a market. That's the scary part.
Yep. And you know, the sort of, to circle back to what we talked about in terms of, we really legitimately want to get people that are addicted to drugs help. You know, if they want help, help will be available to them through the court system. But when you've got people that are dealing and they're pushing this into the county and they are potentially impacting numerous lives and putting people at risk, that's a whole different level.
Yeah.
And I certainly take that much more seriously. So we just keep fighting one day at a time. We got, like I said, we've got really good law enforcement in the area and they're doing everything they can. So, but it's on us too as parents and grandparents and friends and neighbors to do what we can to educate our youth and just be cognizant if somebody seems like they're spiraling down a bad path, to get them help early on instead of letting things kind of get out of control.
Yeah. And you know, they say, you know, the the best thing you can do with kids or friends or whatever is simply talk to them, you mm-hmm. know, and never give up. So any closing comments on the courthouse celebration? Or
I would just recommend that folks go to our Facebook page. We'll have updates there. About twice a week, we've been updating the page, so just check that out.
If they're looking to buy some of the shirt, that kind of thing, where can they go to get that? Is that a place, or is it a website, or both?
So we are primarily selling the t-shirts and the cookbooks from the prosecutor's office, mm-hmm. but my husband, God love him, has been willing to sell some things from the hardware store.
Oh.
And also Sean has been selling some cookbooks up at the bank. But if anybody reaches out and says, I want a t-shirt, I want a cookbook, let me know, and I can always bring it up to the hardware store and make it easier for them to
okay,
to
and it's, if somebody's listening from, say, Rockford or something, mm-hmm. Can they get that on a website, or would they want to go to the courthouse in one of their trips to Salina?
Yeah, we're not selling them over any okay. website, but you could just come to the prosecutor's office.
Okay.
That's where we have everything.
Yep. I love how she said, you know, God bless him or God love him for doing that, when you know he didn't have any choice.
Perhaps there's some truth to that.
Yeah. But you know what? Either the guy's going to have hell to pay from a wife standpoint, or he's going to get prosecuted for something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's rock hard place, for sure.
I'll tell you. So, well, I'll tell you what, Aaron, it is always a pleasure, and as part of your reward for coming up here, you get to listen to rockers.
I don't think that's a reward.
Well, sometimes it is. Maybe she'll be the citizen of the day.
Ooh.
You may want to change that, Rocker.
We haven't heard who it is yet, so you could.
We have co-citizens of the day today.
Apparently.
Okay.
So what do you have for us?
1940. Oh, this is yesterday, by the way.
Oh, yesterday.
That's what we always do, ain't we?
That's what you always do. We usually just make fun of you.
Yes. 1940.
We nitpick. And interrupt. We like to interrupt, too.
I'm sure Bubba and Fee like to get on the air sometime before the 50. Hitchcock's first U.S. movie, Rebecca, is released.
Rebecca.
Well.
And you know what? That's one of my favorites.
You've never heard of it. Nor have I.
No clue.
Nor have I.
What year was it?
1940.
Did it have sound?
Huh?
I believe it did.
Okay.
Key. This is what I do know you... I'm sure you're aware of.
Oh, boy.
1980, the Dallas episode of Who Shot J.R. is aired.
That was big.
That was huge.
That was
a little before my time, but
yeah.
Even I know about that one.
Yeah. Yep. That was, like, for a long time, that was the most watched TV show ever, wasn't it?
Until MASH.
Yeah. Yeah, MASH.
Yeah, the finale of MASH.
Well, this is before MASH, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
All right. So, question.
Okay, that's what I was hoping for.
Who did shoot JR?
His Jordan lover, Kristen.
Oh.
I literally put that on there.
Oh, did you? Good job.
So I figured you'd ask. Oh, boy. This is where it gets a little dicey.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh.
Today, 1978, Meet the Ruddles, a Monty Python parody of the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's is released.
I don't remember that, but probably was Neil's, funny if Monty Python was
Yeah,
involved.
Neil's favorite group.
Well,
what was your 1978 thing there, Jack?
My 1978 thing was 45 years ago, 55 years, 45 years ago, 45 years ago. Meatloaf released 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yep. Yeah. It's not bad. 1 out of 1 wasn't bad.
Yeah. That was mine.
Bad out of hell.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Ugliest rock star in history.
Oh, I don't think so.
No. Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, maybe
Iggy one? Pop.
Yeah, Iggy Pop is my next one.
He's
a little rough.
Yeah.
2018. You'll like this one, Jack.
Okay, go ahead.
Toys R Us founder Charles Lazarus.
I don't know. You got the paper.
Lazarus.
Passes away. I wonder if that giraffe went in with him.
Probably, yeah.
And not long after that, the actual store went under, so.
Yep.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, well.
Although they are trying to bring it back. Some company bought it.
Macy's.
And, yeah, Macy's.
Macy's is trying to bring it back. That'll work. Macy's is almost broke,
too. Took a
big casket.
Big casket. For the giraffe?
Yeah.
Giraffe, yeah. They just cut it in half.
I don't think you're supposed to do that.
Area birthday time.
Oh, boy. Area birthdays.
These are kind of slim.
This is yesterday's?
Yesterday's. Today. Well, there is no today, but tomorrow.
Oh. Okay.
Tuesday, Journey Schreier.
Who?
Was Battle.
Who?
Oh, Journey. Okay, yep.
Oh.
Tomorrow, we got Brooke Hart.
Okay.
Friday, we got Gina winning, I'm going to butcher this name, Miniscar.
Okay.
And Brian Deuce.
Those are celebrity birthdays?
These are the
local birthdays.
Stay with me, Jack.
So today I have Dusty Toby. Yesterday I had John Rammel and Crack Evers. And Bob Perkebile on Friday. And Brian Deuce. And
Bob Perkebile is the smartest man in Fort Recovery.
He is the most educated, yes.
No, he's the smartest.
There are probably people smarter that can figure things out better, higher IQ.
When it comes to a trivia contest, yes. I want Bob Perkebile sitting right beside
Most informed.
Me.
The smartest doesn't mean, a lot of times smart is IQ, and IQ doesn't necessarily mean you know all the trivia.
Thank you for that distinction, Neil.
Yes.
Barb's on my birthday today.
Is it?
Yep.
Happy birthday, Barbie.
Huh. Huh. She doesn't show up on my Facebook thing.
Rocker, what are you doing? Come on.
Well, I'm waiting on you guys to get done with your little side jobs.
So you're thinking that John Rammel's just a side job. He's not that important.
Citizen of the day.
Oh.
Aaron Miner and Mary Niekamp.
Well deserved.
Mary Niekamp. Awesome. Why did you pick her? Did she say hi to you recently?
Is there a reason?
Yeah, well, probably.
She bought his lunch.
Oh.
I know.
Oh.
That's usually your brother.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
But if I put him down, people say it's,
favorite.
Dicey.
And they're already talking about the two of you.
Well, most people are.
Yep. The dynamic duo.
Celebrity birthday time.
Oh, boy, celebrity birthday.
Yesterday we had the lesser the better Bonds. Timothy Dalton, 77.
Very bad.
Gary Oldman is 65.
I've heard of him, don't know who he is.
Played in Different Strokes?
Not even close. That's Gary Coleman there, Scooter.
Oh.
Gary's not with us anymore.
Sorry. Missed that one.
Matthew Broderick is 61.
Ferris Bueller.
Very good, Jack.
He's 61.
Thanks for playing.
It's hard to believe.
Thanks for playing the game.
Who is he married to?
Sarah Jessica Parker from Sex and the City.
Mrs. Broadwinkle or whatever his name is.
And one of the names that I know Neil loves. Rosie O'Donnell is also 61.
Huh. She should run for president so we could all threaten to leave the country.
Yes.
Right.
Well, we should do that now.
Okay.
Today's birthday is...
Oh, boy.
The over-actor himself, William Shatner, is 92.
Isn't he, about ready to die? I thought I...
Probably.
I thought I read
I thought he was years ago. But 92.
Think about that, though. I mean, the last I saw him, he still looks good.
He does.
He went up in space.
That was a rerun.
He went up in space.
Probably.
Huh?
You're killing me here.
I'm sorry.
He actually went to space.
He went up in space, a few months ago?
Yeah, with Mr. SpaceX or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Him and John Glenn went up together.
No.
I think they went up separately, but...
John's not with us anymore either. Author James Patterson is 76.
Oh. I've heard of him.
Another one of Neil's favorite buddies.
Oh, boy.
Wolf Blitzer is 75.
I barely know who that is.
Really?
Yes.
He's a quarterback.
Oh.
Washington.
Oh, yeah. Washington figured he'd Senators. Be, I figured he would be a...
soccer player?
No. A defensive guy blitzing the quarterback.
Oh. Andrew Lloyd Webber is 75.
Phantom of the Opera.
Very good.
Thank you.
And a Cats. Thousand other songs. Yeah.
Yes.
You want to sing the song for us?
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
Poor Erin's going to be wishing she didn't show up tonight.
Here we go.
There you go.
Midnight and the kitties are sleeping out alone in the forest.
Erin's swooning
where
right
the
now.
Men right. are light.
That's beautiful. That's actually none of those are the real words from Cat.
No,
but it's a lot better version than the real one.
Oh, buddy, Bob Costas turned 71.
Wow, he's 71.
That's hard Jeez. To believe.
He always has that baby face.
Yep, that kind of like me.
It's like me.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
If like you put me in makeup, as long as those guys are, I would look exactly like Bob Costas
or Hal Crissell.
Yeah, you get you one of them wigs. One of them their wigs.
Just don't say what Howard said and you'll keep your job. Reese Witherspoon is 47. Didn't see that one.
I like her.
She's always spoken highly of you.
Yep. Erin, if there's a movie out there,
oh God.
What one star would be in that movie that would make you want to watch it?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Really?
Yep. I grew up watching 1980s action movies, so...
Terminator.
My favorite movie of all time is Predator.
Yep. Oh, my.
I don't know what that says about me, but...
poor movie gal.
But strong influence from older brothers, I suppose, but... Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Steven Seagal, Chuck Norris.
Oh, my.
That's my genre right there.
Wow.
So, actually, Matt hung in our workout room in our house. I don't know where he found it, but he found this really cool, it's almost like a plaque from Predator, so I can be inspired when I go in there to do my bicep curls. Oh. I look at Arnold. I can assure you,
and that's
biceps
your county prosecutor.
Do not measure up to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
She's not just arresting people; she's eating them.
Yeah, don't want her for the prosecutor.
You just turn her into a cannibal.
So, well, Rocker, anything else?
I'm done.
All right, I tell you what, we have to get out of here. So. Bubba and Feet can come on their show.
And they
this,
have a
this might
baseball
be the
coach.
Latest we've ever been.
Yep. Eric Eink.
No, that's not true.
Our baseball coach
yes.
coming on. So we'll be back.
We'll be back right after this.
Thanks, Erin. We appreciate you coming on.
Yeah.
Great job, Erin.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard.